Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 7th of March 2021. It's a Sunday. We will continue from where we stopped. We are following this book, the transcript book. Who are you and what are you? We are at page 4.3.4, the section on karma. So the previous Sunday, we have gone through the initial understanding of why this five aggregate of form and mind, or so-called living being or human being, is not what we think we are. Then we have also learned about the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect is very straightforward. As a human being, we have a physical body. We call it a form, rupa. Then we have a consciousness trapped within this physical body. The Buddha called it mind, nama. And this mind, the Buddha divide into four more aggregates. He called it vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Means, what can our mind do? This one refers to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind, or conditioned arising mind, or what normal people call it, the conscious mind. That's why it is from consciousness that the conscious mind comes to be. You become conscious of what is going on because we have this physical body that has the senses. And upon contact with mind, sense experience arise. So sense experience arise through consciousness. We become conscious of life. We can become conscious of what we see through our organ of seeing or the eye. We can become conscious of what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think through the other senses. So this four ability of mind, the Buddha subdivide into the four more aggregates of mind. So 4 plus 1 is the five aggregate, the first aspect. As a living being, or in our case, we are born a human, we call it a human being. So this human being, our own five aggregate of form and mind, is it really what we think we are? Are you this five aggregate of form and mind? Is it a permanent unchanging entity? Can you deludedly grasp and cling onto it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, I can own things, I can have things, all this can be mine. According to the teaching, according to the Buddha, this is delusion. Because the form and mind, the physical body, and the consciousness trapped inside the so-called human being or living being, is not a permanent, unchanging entity. This one, according to the Buddha, is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. That's why it is not what we think. So we covered this first part in our previous session. Then the Buddha explained further. He said there is another second aspect to this five aggregate of form and mind. The first aspect is very straightforward. Very easy to understand according to the Buddha. He said if we were to analyze or look at our form and mind with sincerity, honesty, and just develop awareness of it, we can have certain form of understanding. Yeah, the physical body is made of elements, no knowing. So it's obviously not us. Yeah, it goes the way of nature. We cannot tell the physical body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It goes the way of nature, it doesn't listen to you. That's why it's not you. Then similarly, the other aggregates of mind, which is the consciousness part, the conscious mind or the mundane mind. Similarly, if we were to silence our mind and develop awareness, we realize feeling come and go, we didn't die. Perception come and go, we didn't die. Sankara activity, mental states, mental emotions, mental activity, views, opinion, conditioning, everything that the mind can do, they arise and they pass away and we didn't die. Then finally, the conscious mind that can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we take, what we feel and think, also come and go, but we didn't die. So how can they be us? But the question is, if they are not you, then why did it arise within our five aggregates of form and mind? Then who are you? What are you? What is this so-called five aggregates of form and mind? So the second aspect is the consciousness part of the five aggregates of form and mind. The Buddha say every moment of consciousness, like every moment of your seeing, consciousness, hearing, consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, thought, process, they also have their five aggregates of form and mind. But as we all know, the mind has only four aggregates. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then how did the fifth aggregate of form, mental form, rupa, comes into play? We have to look through our awareness and understanding, look at the aggregates of mind. Then we realize there is one aggregate of perception of sanya that brings the external form into our mind. Whatever we perceive through our seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness, that perception brings the external form into the mind. That's how the five aggregates of form and mind simultaneously arise. And this second aspect of the five aggregate, the Buddha is more interested. He said, this one, you have to understand it clearly. This one, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, they arise and pass away following certain nature's law. He called it the Paticca Samuppada, or dwelling, the law of dependent origination. So he said, if you are mindful, when you are aware, you can understand how they arise. And he said, this five aggregate is the same when you really develop the awareness of it. They are impermanent because they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think. Because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It has this anatta nature, non-self and empty nature. And because it's impermanent, it goes the way of nature, it follows nature's law. So if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, the obvious universal characteristics of dukkha or suffering will arise. Because whatever that is of the nature to arise through causes and conditions is of the nature to cease when causes and conditions cease to be. So the coming and the going follow nature's law, the law of mind, Paticca Samuppada. So you cannot say why or question that nature's law, because that is based on a universal nature's law, spiritual law. So the law of mind is one aspect. And this law of mind is very important. Then the Buddha, after that, he continued to explain. He said, similarly, these five aggregates of form and mind, it exhibit this universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta means impermanent, leading to suffering when you grasp and cling to it, wanting things your way. Because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that is self-delusion, sakkāyadiṭṭhi. When you understand, you will come to know what anatta means. Anatta means non-self, not no self, or self. It is in between. It's not nothingness. It is not like something permanent, but it is something in between. It exists, but it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not you. So you should not be deceived by it, deluded by it. You should make use of it because it's part of your coming identity, coming nature. It comes to this existential world through coming, karma. So the next topic we are going to learn is about this law of karma. That's how we arrive at this stage. So that introduction is for you to recap what we have actually developed over the previous session. So now you listen, we go back to the sharing. Page 4-20, 4.3.4. Karma. You have to understand that a lot of things that happen has to do with karma. Do you understand? Because according to the Buddha, almost everything is karmically related. They are all karma related because these five aggregates of form and mind are mundane consciousness within the conditioned world and is subject to karma. That's why the Buddha, under the teaching, he said, under the five daily contemplation, he said, you must contemplate daily. And the last one, the Buddha said it very clearly. We are all, not only human beings, but including all living beings, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this one is very important. Very powerful. When the Buddha talks about the word you or I, he refers to the human being. It's when he talks about we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. That entity, we, or the I and the me, they refer to the five aggregates of form and mind, the first aspect and the second aspect. So this so-called human being is not you, but is karmically related to you. It's a vehicle and a tool that arises through karmic conditioning. And that is subject to karma, because it is within the existential world, governed by the conditioned world's dhamma, or nature's law. So from there, the Buddha started his teaching. He said, you, the human being, or any living being, that one refers to our form and mind, not our true nature. So he is not referring to your true nature. That's why when you study the sutta, you must understand clearly what anatta is. Anatta doesn't mean nothing or nothingness. Anatta is not nothingness. It's not no you, no I. Do you understand? There is such a thing as a form and mind or the human being. There is such a thing as a person or a human being that is born into this world. But when a person who understands says, this is not you, it is because spiritually that person doesn't have sakayadity anymore, self-delusion anymore. So what is sakayadity? What is this word sakayadity? What does it mean? Kaya is our body, diti is view. Then when we combine the two words sakayadity, what does it mean? I think somebody answered wrongly. And I said, no, it is not wrong view. It is self-delusion. Sakayadity here means you have wrong view with regards to the atta or the self or the kaya. Do you understand? So the Buddha said, you deludedly grasp and cling on to this five degree of form and mind and the mundane thinking, then you will believe that there is a person inside, that there is a personality within, that can own things within, that can own things, that can become angry, emotional, and fearful. So if you think that way, that is self-delusion, sakayadity, which is also one of the major wrong view. So when this is understood, then you will come to realize that conventionally there is the I and the me. I use the word conventionally, it means within the conditional. That's why the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So this form and mind is what the Buddha is referring to, where he is talking about mundane Dhamma within the conditioned arising world. That is why there is the I and the me. Do you understand? But in the context of the supramundane, it is anatta, empty, non-self. Not no self, but non-self. So when you come to this understanding, then you can move. Before that, you can't. Then you will be able, then you come to understand that this form and mind of yours is what the Buddha said is subject to karma. That is born of your karma. So this form and mind is born of your karmic nature or karma. That one we can surely confirm, isn't it? So the form and mind, which is a human being, is subject to karma or born of our karma. So this part is it clear? That's why previously, I always ask you all that this so-called form and mind or human being is not you, because this is karmically conditional for you to come to this existential world to live life and for you to use. So when it comes to this conditioned world, you should make use of it to live and experience life, etc. You know what is karmically conditioned out, isn't it? That's why you are born of our karma, or karmically conditioned out to this world. Because to come to this existential world or this universe, these 31 planes of existence, you need a form and mind, this vehicle and tool. This form and mind is a prerequisite for us to come to this existential world. Then it's the human being. So this form and mind for us in this life is the human being. Whereas for others, or those from other realms of existence beings. Their form and mind may be that of the devas or the animals, etc. You have the karma loka, sensual world, rupa loka, form world, and then you have the formless world, arupa loka. This form and their mind, their form and mind are different. In the arupa loka, there is no physical form. In the rupa loka, there is this physical form, but there is no sensual desire. And all those things of the sensual realm, where it is a non-sensual realm. So when you start to understand all this, then you will come to know that this one, the form and mind, is karmically conditioned out for us to come to this existential world to use, for us to come as a human being. So this is the first part of the form and mind when it is explained with regards to the law of karma. So now I will move in to a slightly deeper topic. You must know every living being, we have two nature. One is our karmic nature and the other one is our spiritual nature. Nature means it's like a nature that has evolved over a long period. Then we must understand which is the one that is responsible for its continuous birth and death or coming. That's why each and every living being has got two components or nature. You got one, the spiritual nature. Then you got another component, which is the karmic nature. This karmic nature is a summation of all our karmic accumulation since the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned us into becoming what we are after billions and billions of birth and death. They all accumulate and are recorded in nature's law under the law of karma, and they become your karmic nature. That's why your last thought moment or death consciousness will condition your rebirth consciousness, which will condition your next rebirth. So rebirth consciousness will condition your subsequent form and mind to take rebirth. Do you understand? So when you understand that, then you ask yourself, if this is not me, then how can I understand who I am? Who am I or what am I? How do I move from here? How can I understand that there is a karmic nature that is responsible for this form and mind's coming? That's why you need to meditate. Do you understand? So this form and mind need to meditate or must meditate. When you meditate, what happens? When you silence your mind, you develop awareness or sati or mindfulness, then you connect to your true mind. Oh, this word should be your true mind. The silent mind, the awareness nature within, the eternal mind or nature or original nature. When you connect and see things as they are, then you will come to realize that the nature within is not a person, not a human being. It is not a being or anything that you can call. It is without name, without words. There is no thought, no aggregates of mind. It is the unconditioned. And it is just pure awareness. That's why I call it the awareness nature, the pure awareness nature. And the characteristic of it is just aware. And that is the essence of mind, your true mind. So when you connect to this true mind without thought, you are able to see things as they are and awaken to all this teaching leading to the understanding of the three universal characteristics of nature, namely impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. So you have to understand this true mind, your true nature, is not a being. You cannot describe it. It's just the nature. It's not something that you can own or cling on to as belonging to you. It is just a nature. It cannot come out and live life. You cannot hold on to it and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, I am such and such. No such thing. That's the reason why Sabbe Dhamma is also anatta within the condition and the unconditioned. They are still anatta. Sabbe Dhamma anatta. Not only Sankara anatta. Dhamma also same. So this is how the teaching actually comes about. And this teaching is so profound. When you understand, when you realize, you will become very different. You can awaken. So this is the part. So I read on again so that you can understand. Then when you realize that this form and mind is no longer deluded. I read again. Then when you realize that this form and mind is no longer deluded. Sorry, there's a comma. So when you realize the above, the non-self nature and all that, then you will come to know this form and mind is no longer deluded when this is realized. Then this form and mind doesn't have to suffer anymore. That it will not cling, it will not grasp. Then you can say this form and mind is enlightened. But this is not you. Do you understand? If you deludedly cling onto it and say you are enlightened, then you have to check what type of enlightenment is that. Because there is still avijja, sakkayaditti, or self-delusion, the ego that believe you are enlightened. So what happens is, the moment you connect, you will come to realize that there is this nature within, the spiritual nature, that governs all of your spiritual practices or activity or cultivation and happenings. But the problem with this spiritual nature is not everyone has perfected it. Do you understand? Only certain beings that have really cultivated, they have perfected it. These are referring to those great beings. Otherwise, you need to every time connect. Then try to perfect it and develop it. Which means in stages, you slowly perfect it. Just like karma, in stages, you build it up until this karmic nature is so beautiful. And every time you come, this form and mind will have all the conditions to connect you to your nature. Then from there, you can continue your spiritual cultivation and perfection and development to build up that spiritual nature. And this one can be your spiritual body, or the Buddha called it Sambhogaya, which means your spiritual body, or what they call spiritual perfection body. Then your this form and mind is your functional body that performs the function of a human being. And they call it the Nimanakaya. When you are ready, your perfections completed, just like the Sammasambuddha or Sakyamuni Buddha or Amitabha Buddha at the night of their enlightenment. The Sambhogaya Kaya, spiritual nature, come and combine with the Nimana Kaya, this form and mind, together with the Sambhogaya Kaya, becomes the Buddha or Dhamma Kaya, the third body, the Dhamma body. That speaks the Dhamma. The Nimana Kaya then becomes the Sambo, Sama Sambuddha. So this is how you need to understand it. Okay, the next section is right view. Oh, we still got a lot of time, that time when I was sharing the speech. So I don't need to rush. The overall picture is very important because I have to explain all this. First, you must understand that right view, the first path factor of the Noble Eightfold Path, this is very important. That's why the Buddha said the first right view you must have is right view with regards to the law of karma. Then when you have come to understand that there is this nature's law called the law of karma or moral causation that governs all of life and existence, then what must you do? Yes, you must take care of your karma. That's why all of the teachings spin out from this right view. Do you understand? Understanding what constitutes evil is very important. How do you take care of your karma? We are following the Buddha's advice, isn't it? That is Dhammapada verse 183, to avoid all evil, to good and purify our mind. Then how do you avoid all evil? How? Yes, you have to keep your precepts. How can you keep your precepts? You have to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful. Otherwise, you cannot see your mental intention. You cannot see your heedlessness, and you cannot see how your evil roots arise. That's why if you don't know, you don't even know what is evil or what constitutes evil, then how can you cultivate? That's the reason why the first thing we must do is to understand the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, especially the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, which are the roots of all evil, that will make you very evil. To understand what constitutes evil, then develop that cultivation, then develop and cultivate the mindfulness to see this evil root. Not until you can see these evil roots clearly, to understand how you are conditioned into karmic negativity due to your wrong view and lack of understanding of the Dhamma, you will continue to violate the precept because you lack the understanding of because you lack the understanding of the Dhamma, like not comprehending the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Your lack of understanding of the Dhamma. Oh, this one we have gone through. Not comprehending the three universal characteristics of nature that leads you to deludedly grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it is you. That's how suffering or affliction arise. The five aggregates of grasping or upadana khandhas brings about dukkha or suffering. So karma is very important because you will keep on accumulating it if you are heedless. That's why every time you come, you must determine to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind. If you want to avoid all evil, you must train your mind to be aware, to be heedful. And you have to develop the understanding, the Dhamma understanding of what is evil or what constitutes evil, so that you know how to deal with it. We are cultivating the four right effort. So this next topic is also very important, the four right effort and the five ways to abandon wrong thought. 4.3.8. Okay, the four right efforts are, first right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought, action and speech that has a reason. So when you see them with mindfulness, you must determine to arise the right effort to abandon them. How do you abandon them? There are five ways as taught by the Buddha. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. So that the negative thoughts cannot arise. If you got a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, then you must develop more and more metta, loving kindness, to counter it. If you do have lust, a lot of greed, you have to develop contentment. And you develop love and compassion to counter cruelty, that you can give a lot of fear. Oh, sorry. Then if you got a lot of fear and delusion, you should develop wisdom to counter them. So this is the first way, which is still thought-based. You can give it a try, but not so effective. So this first right effort is still thought-based. That's why effort is still involved. Right effort to abandon. Right effort to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought is still a thought. Do you understand? Then what is the second way? The second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to those wrong thoughts or wrong action and wrong speech. If you continue to do so, what will happen to you? Those are evil roots, roots of all evil. Hence, it will make you very evil. Then karmically you will fall. Then every time you come to this world, existential world, when you take birth, this form and mind will inherit everything. Because you are born of this karma, and to this karma condition supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So if you don't take care of your karma, you will surely get into big trouble. Then when you come, you are like very sui. Sui means no luck or unlucky. Like everything is not right. Then who can you blame? But deludedly, living beings always blame everybody except themselves. Sometimes they become so deluded, they blame themselves too. So once you understand the great consequence of allowing such wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong act to continue to arise in you, because your karmic nature will fall, then you will determine strongly to abandon them. So once you understand the great consequence of allowing such wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action to continue to arise in you, because your karmic nature will fall, then you will determine strongly to abandon them. Correct, this is correct. With this second way understanding, later on when you are more mindful and heedful than before the unwholesome thought arise, you can also prevent it from arising. This second right effort to prevent it from arising is very useful, but this one needs cultivation and the initial wisdom. Then the third right effort is to arise the right effort to cultivate the wholesome thought, wholesome speech, and wholesome action that is still not in you. How do you do that? That's why you must reflect and contemplate to develop the understanding of what is wholesome, what are right thoughts. Since the absence of evil is right, so any virtuous thought that are without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are all right thought, wholesome thought. So all of you're virtuous. Thought. So sorry. So all of your virtue, like having loving kindness, compassion, generosity, sincerity, gratitude, respect, honesty, and all the other good virtue, you should develop them more and more, more and more. So this part is very important. Then the next topic is the silent mind. So this is the third way. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, to counter the unwholesome thought. Second way is to think of the consequence, then determine to abandon it. Then the third way is meditative. This one is more useful. The third way is to counter the unwholesome thought and all the wrong thought and wrong speech is meditative in nature. So this third way is a meditative way to overcome unwholesome thought. What is the third way? Ah yes, you just silent your mind. Do you understand? The moment you silent your mind, you don't think. And that silent mind is your true mind. Without thought, you are already aware. You are already with your true nature. And that one can understand what is going on. So whatever that is condition arising, if you silence your mind and don't give it any more thinking energy or thought energy, we are not reaching, we are not reacting or clinging on to it, then you are not afflicted or affected by it. Then it will lose its power. Do you understand? Just like anger, as you silence your mind and just feel the anger, the emotion, and be with it, then what will happen? Anger will cease to be, isn't it? Because if you don't give it any more meaning, and you just silent and be with it, then the very flowering of that thought or emotion is the very ending of it. That's why Jai Krishnamurti defines awareness as the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is the reality. Can you all remember? 2 weeks ago, we just went through that. You can go and read up the Sunday class Wu Ping Jing Se notes on what is sati and what is awareness again for you to refresh. You must have awareness, which is the silent mind and choiceless observation of what is. Choiceless here means you don't make choice, you don't discriminate, and you don't reach. And you don't react to create duality. You don't do anything. Do you understand? And what is silent? Silent means not only don't talk, you don't verbalize or chatter. There is no verbalization and chattering within. That's why the real awareness-based meditation is the reverse or opposite of thought-based meditation. You don't go and note this and note that and do all those things. But instead, you just silence your mind and then you will understand everything. The moment you are silent, you will see the condition arising state of anger or emotion or fear. Then you will witness how it ceases to be by just letting things be. Through this silent observation, you will know how to cease them, that it is all just energy field. Do you understand? When you don't give it any more mental energy to become more powerful or more emotional, then it will cease to be. Then when you experience that in your meditation, you will realize that, hey, this is beautiful. I don't have to do anything. All these so-called evil roots of greed, hatred, or delusion, They are all conditioned arising state within the mind. They are the mundane mind, not the true mind. The true mind is already perfect, silent and still, peaceful and beautiful. But you deludedly go and do so many things that make it restless and deluded. Through what? Through your wrong view. Through your sakayadity or self-delusion. So all this, you must come to realize them if you cultivate the third way properly. So this third way is the meditative way, is the best. Okay, next section is spacious awareness and specific phenomenal awareness. I think maybe we stop here, 4.3.10. Yeah, this is an important topic. I want to discuss it after. So in the meantime, we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation first. If you're off the light, then you all can silence your mind and develop the awareness-based meditation to train your awareness nature to stabilize it. So 45 minutes awareness-based meditation. So just relax body and mind, maintain awareness until it stabilizes. Spacious awareness and specific phenomenal awareness. So this one is a very important understanding. When you have trained your mind, when you have developed the ability to connect to your true mind, when you have stabilized your mindfulness, you will have this ability to experience these two types of awareness or sati. First is the spacious awareness without a center. It's your mind does not stay anywhere. It's not anchored to any point. It's not anchored to anything. It's just that nature dwell with spacious awareness. You can do that. Means you understand what that true mind is, that true nature is. Then you have special ability. The awareness can be very, very different. The awareness nature that perceives spacious awareness is like the oneness nature. Like your true mind has become one with everything. And whatever distant sound or whatever, if you want to perceive, it can perceive, it can understand, it will have the understanding. It will be able to develop the understanding. Then the other one is more of a dynamic one, where you need to develop them so that every day throughout your conscious moment, you can use them, you can apply them. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. Means you can be aware of all phenomena, whatever phenomena that arise. But each time you can only be aware of one phenomena. But this movement can shift, can move very fast. Because our nature is the silent awareness within. If it does not move, whatever that move within the phenomenal can be detected because our awareness nature is aware. Then that area, that phenomena that is specifically aware, like the moving car or anybody's activity or movement or the mind's arising of its perception or its feeling, or the conscious moment, or when that mundane mind surface, stir, react. This awareness nature has the ability to be aware. Initially, you can apply to external phenomena. Spacious awareness without a center has to be done with the formal meditation posture. When you are in a formal meditation posture, then you can develop it. Otherwise, spacious awareness not easy. You have to be in a fixed formal posture. Sometimes while you are walking or whatever, then suddenly you stop. Then you can silence everything and experience this spacious awareness without a center. And when you are in your active mode, conscious moment living life, then you need to have this ability to experience this specific phenomenal awareness. And to do that, your sati must be very stable, your awareness must be very stable, your daily mindfulness must be very stable. Then whatever you do, whether it's a seeing of any phenomena within the seeing consciousness, or hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, is all with awareness. There's a specific moment, specific phenomenon awareness within that moment. Sometimes you can hear the breeze or whatever, perceive the rain and all those things. That is just an awareness. It's not a thinking. It's just the silent mind, the awareness move with that. Like the movement of a car. When your awareness and that movement move, there is no labeling, no thought, no concept, nothing. It's just the awareness and the phenomena move as one. So throughout your daily life, you can achieve that type of phenomena. Means spacious awareness without a center, or specific phenomena with that center where you are with that phenomena. So you are with that specific phenomena, its movement. Then this one can flow. Okay, we go back to the notes I will read on, then maybe easier to understand. Otherwise, not easy. Spacious awareness and specific phenomena awareness. You just meditate by being silent and inwardly aware. That is most important. No need to do anything. And that is the real meditation. Do you understand? So I read again. You listen attentively. You just meditate by being silent. Silent means what? Relax, aware. No need to do anything. And aware from within, inwardly aware, silent. No need to do anything. Means no thought, no thinking. And that is a real meditation. Even in your daily mindfulness, you just silent and aware. Then the two types of mindfulness, spacious awareness without a center or the specific phenomenal awareness will arise. Because the silent mind will enable you to be aware most of the time without thought. And because of that, there is clarity of mind to see things as they are. Do you understand? You are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with any emotion or problems or thought process. That's how your mind has clarity. For you to see things as they are, it can then understand things easily. Oh, sorry, I read again. The two are separate. You are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with any emotion or thought process. That's how your mind has clarity. For you can see things as they are. Okay, we stop there. The next one is, it can then understand things easily. And it can also insight into phenomena via the direct seeing without thought. To realize the truth and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. So when that happens, there is a type of wisdom called panya. It will arise within the formal mind. Because that nature within the silent mind, that silent awareness nature that sees it, will awaken to it. Then it will allow this wisdom to stay within this form of mind, which is connected to it. That is the process. That is how it can happen. And this form of mind with that wisdom is no longer deluded. That's why it doesn't suffer anymore. That's why after that, all of the right action, right speeches, and right thoughts following Noble Eightfold Path will be there. He or she will then become a noble one, an enlightened one. That's why after that, the spiritual nature will keep on developing. Because when you are already incapable of negativity, everything you do is right and perfect. Do you understand? Then at that time, your right effort to cultivate wholesomeness of mind, the right thought, the right speech, the right action, and right livelihood, etc., will have no more issue or problems. Even the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation also will no longer be a problem. The five spiritual faculty also no longer a problem. They will be there all the time. That's how your cultivation works and progress. And then step by step, you will touch that nature, and then you will connect to evolve and move again. Means your true nature, your silent mind. That's why from there on, the spiritual nature will be like the karmic nature. They will continue to evolve until that nature is so powerful, like those of the great beings, the Bodhisattvas and Samasambuddhas. They don't have to be there because their vows has become part of nature's law, and they will just manifest accordingly. So their nature is different. It becomes very powerful. So when they have developed that type of parami, that type of spiritual nature, then they can actually make vows at the time for it to manifest as part of nature's law. So they don't have to be there for you, for every living being all the time. It has become part of nature's law. So the vow will take effect like nature's law, like Kuan Yin. The nature has this vow, whosoever who call upon the name of Four House sincerely with faith, there will be a response. So this will manifest. That's why faith is very important. Affinity is very important. So when you have the faith, you can develop the affinity and connect. So whomsoever who can connect to their nature via their sincerity and spiritual faculties, they will receive a lot of blessings, protection, and guidance. That's why their natures are ever radiating. Means the Buddha and the great beings' nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivators of the way. As long as you are sincere, you have the faith, the Sadha, Virya, and Sati, then you will connect. Do you follow? Or can you follow? Because sincerity is very important. Faith is also very important. And sati, you must have sati. You cannot connect to your true mind, your true nature with the sati. You cannot understand. You cannot understand. And you cannot develop the understanding of what my nature is trying to share with you. It's only when you have the ability to develop the stability of sati to connect, then you can have the ability to do all these things. Then whatever you do, it's like you will receive a lot of blessing, protection, and guidance from this great being's nature. Because their vow, their nature's energy is ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. As long as you are a cultivator, you are sincere, and you have the faith, down and the virya, and you are ever mindful, constantly meditative, means heedful, then you will connect. This is how the cultivation actually take off and evolve. So the first thing that you will have to do is to take care of karma. We are developing the right view, then cultivate. Then as you cultivate your awareness, it's not only to take care of karma, avoiding all evil and do good only. But you must also develop samasati to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, which is the only way out of suffering to realize arahantship. For the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation leading to the end of suffering, we are the realization of nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is very important. Let me move on. So you have to cultivate these four foundations of mindfulness to arise the wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind. As you develop the mindfulness or sati until it has become very stable, then samadhi will also arise. Then with sati and samadhi together, it will enable you to have the clarity of mind to awaken. That's how wisdom or panya, which is the last spiritual faculty, can arise. When panya arises, you will have the right view. And your right view will enable you to see clearly. Not only the law of karma to avoid all evil and do good, but also to understand that to purify the mind, to develop the needed wisdom to straighten your view, you also need to cultivate samasati and samasamadhi. So all this is a natural consequence when you have developed the ability to be aware, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So when you have them, you will come to understand the second right view that the Buddha explained to us, which is the Four Noble Truths. Then you will understand the third right view, which is the Paticca-samuppada, or law of dependent origination, that explain to you clearly how you function as a human being, how your five aggregates of form and mind, the first and second aspect, comes to be, how they arise and how they pass away. You will see them clearly. That is their condition arising nature, their impermanence, their suffering state, and their empty or non-self nature. So the moment you understand all this, you will come to realize that you only need to take care of your karma, then purify your mind and connect to develop your spiritual nature further, so that every time you come or choose to come, this spiritual nature is already developed. Do you understand? This is the path to cultivate. Then because of your karmic nature, which is also developed, every life you come, this form and mind, or the human being that you take, they will have all the parami that you have developed. And this will ensure that you will have a very beautiful form and mind with all the right DNA coding and all the appropriate karmic conditioning to support your good life and to take care of your new form and mind. Then when the time comes, because of your spiritual vows, aspiration, affinity, and past cultivation, this form and mind will know how to walk the Bodhisattva way accordingly. Then it will continue to condition you to connect to the Triple Gem again and again. And then you will know how to go and meditate when the condition arises. Because the condition will arise for you to meditate. Just like this line, my nature. When I was fairly young, I start to probe. I don't have problem. I search because there is this movement inside my nature. The Bohi mind, the Bodhi seed that has been planted, that nature, my spiritual nature, karmic nature, it starts to manifest condition through my vows, through my aspiration, through my understanding, then they just arise. So all this become automatic, and it's so beautiful. That's why my nature, because it has gone through my nature, understand. Then I realize how they arise, because the condition will arise for me to meditate. Then it's so strange, when the time comes, everything falls into place. People will come to you, just like what happened to me in 1986 to 89. The teachers come, the guide come, the book come, everything that I need come. I didn't do anything, and I just know how to walk this way, or this path. How can I know all this that happened? It is because of my nature's past cultivation and inheritance. That's how all this can be done. That's why during that Thursday class sharing, it was very beautiful. And that was 15th of May 2014, almost 7 years ago. Okay, so we stop here, 5:02, 4.3.1. The next topic is 5 types of heavy karma. So we will open up for Q&A. Okay.
Yeah. And good afternoon, Brother Teo.
Yes.
And Sri Sui and all Kamita. Recently, I have, I don't know, when I was doing the lying down meditations, I suddenly have a, I don't know whether it's a thought and understand or an understanding. I realized that the thought is still going on, is it? At the background. Exactly. And then I realized that I'm able to think on my hearing the heartbeat and all those things.
Yeah.
And off the background, you know, the thought is still come and on and off and on and off. Mm-hmm. Then I suddenly realized that
activity and movement, yes.
Yes. And then I suddenly realized that it's our mundane mind, and the silent mind, you see?
Yeah.
The mundane is forever there, you see?
Correct.
Sadhu. You know, it's forever there.
It's always there. It's only whether you are lost in thought or not. When you are lost in thought, means the sankhara movement actually catch hold of you. Means you become heedless, deluded, lost in thought, preoccupied with your thought process. But when you are aware, you can see through the awareness the movement of that sankhara activity, because all the sankhara activity, they are your habitual tendency, they are your thought that arise through response to memory, your whatever habitual activity. And all this is unending unless you know how to meditate, the awareness-based meditation, unless you know how to silence until it becomes very quiet, very still, slow down, and then completely silent. Then only the awareness nature stand up and become very stable. And when you are able to be the awareness nature for quite a while, that is the beginning of the stability of the silent mind. Then after that, whatever movement you can see very clearly, then you come to realize later on you have less and less thought, because you have more and more stability of mindfulness. Then your right view enable you not to stir, not to react, and not to create unnecessary thinking. Then the habitual thinking, the habitual tendency, they all slowly, slowly like melt away, cease to be, Like you will come to understand all this has no meaning. Sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, it leads to suffering. Then why think? Think also like that, don't think also like that. Think is just the way it is. So with understanding, you live life, you move on. That is the final understanding, the movement, the transformation. That's why for you, this is a very important stage, you know, where you can start to see the two types of mind. Because that true mind, the silent mind that is aware, is always there. Then it's like there is another mind doing all the funny thinking and movement. That is not the funny mind. That is our mundane mind, our thinking mind, our five aggregate of form and mind. That one is dependent originating. Why? Just like Jay Krishnamurti say, dependent on our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our memory. So thought is respond to memory, respond to our conditioning, our views, our opinion, our phobia, our whatever, insecurity and all those things. So these are the ones that constantly condition that unconscious, subconscious and the conscious reaction to sense experience. Sometimes it could be subtle fear, phobia or whatever. So that's how the mundane mind gets conditioned into that is the it move. If you don't know how to meditate, you don't know you have two mind, you cannot reverse this process. Well, this process, as long as you are heedless, you don't have mindfulness, awareness, you cannot reverse it. That's the reason why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Only the heedful never die. Whereas the heedless are as if dead. So this is very clear. As long as you are not aware, not heedful, you cannot learn. The wisdom cannot arise. You may use knowledge to learn, to have a lot of Dhamma knowledge. Then you think you know the Dhamma. Then you try to apply that knowledge to live life. Like follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify. But that is knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Without the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness within, you cannot see your five aggregate of form and mind. You cannot see how that one stir, react, and make you what you are. When you see in the awareness-based meditation with your stability of mindfulness, spacious awareness, phenomenal, specific, spacious awareness without a center, or the specific phenomenal awareness, when you are able to see that clearly, the awakening is different. The realization is different. It's no longer a knowledge, a thinking. So that part you will come to understand soon. You know, as you go through this phase, so your duty is through the understanding. Like you say, suddenly you understand that there is another mind behind, which is always there. There is a true mind. Then there is another activity moving, mundane mind, which is condition arising, causal phenomena, which comes through response to memory, habitual tendency, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. So all these are the movement of the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conscious mind. And that mind is subject to karma, where it has mental intention. That one cannot develop wisdom, because that one is thought-based, limited by what its instrument is. So for you to go beyond thought, beyond mind, you must have the awareness. Awareness is your true mind. From the awareness nature, the mundane mind arises. That's why mundane mind cannot see awareness. Awareness can see the mundane mind's movement. So all this understanding, as you progress, as you are able to develop the mindfulness to be more and more stable, then you become more and more heedful, less and less heedless. That's what Avijja Sutta is all about, the 10 steps, that movement. Then you become different. You become heedful, more aware throughout the day. So heedful living is the sign of progress. Heedful living is a sign of confirming that you are destined for awakening or enlightenment. Whereas if you cannot have mindfulness, the stability of it leading to heedfulness, you will continuously become heedless. So the heedless are as if they, the heedless don't stand a chance. Spiritually, they are as if they, no matter how much knowledge they may have with regards to the teaching, it is still knowledge. Like that monk, Tuchu Petola, and venerable empty scripture, something like that. So he has a lot of knowledge, but that is not wisdom. So cultivation is the way I explain. When you understand, you become different. The real cultivation and transformation happen. So for your case, Jinhao is very good. This is the beginning. After you have the ability to be aware of your heartbeat, means your mindfulness has starts to stabilize. Otherwise, you cannot. Then you will have this ability to see and observe and understand all this. Otherwise, there is no way. So for you to have that understanding is very good. So from now onward, you only need to silence more and more, develop more and more awareness. So through all this observation, you will start to see and you can reflect and contemplate how come my this habitual tendency type of thinking, movement, sankhara activity is still there, still active. Don't reject it because this is for you to learn. Because this is the result of a cultivator who has not understood. So they are still there, active. That's why you only start to understand that there is another mind behind. So your duty is to stay with that true mind, stabilize it, develop the straightening of the view, the wisdom, the understanding, observe clearly the direct seeing, the specific phenomenal observation, seeing things as they are, straightening your view, yoniso manasikara. Reflect, contemplate, inquire. So all this will help you straighten your view and make you more and more mindful, more and more heedful. That's how you become like less and less heedless, means less thinking, less sankhara, less habitual tendency, less so and less of all this mental movement or activity. Then naturally you are aware, silent, spiritual faculties are there, become stable later on, and it stabilizes until it becomes balanced. That's how all this happens. This is cultivation, the real one. Can you understand, you know?
Yes. And then I realized that it's just whether you choose to stay with your silent mind or your mundane mind. Because
correct, but you have to when you say you choose, it's the thought that choose.
All right.
But when you are with the awareness, it's always there. That's why you can know that there is a nature within which is always there.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful understanding, that glimpse. So always remember, this is your true mind. Like Kuan Yin said, the first hallmark is to meditate with the silent mind, wu nian. Without thought, you are already aware, mindful. So don't try to be mindful. Don't try to be aware. Just silent. Relax, maintain awareness. When sankhara are still there, never mind. Let it be. Like I say, it's your teacher. It will manifest and you will see clearly. Then you will learn. why you still react and stir? Why this type of thinking still arise? Why you still want to analyze, reason, and all those things? You will understand. Then later on, with the wisdom that arise, you can have a choice to develop wisdom and understanding. When they arise, you can deal with it as a cultivator very easily. But nature is very unique. As a cultivator, we just do what we have to do, that is very easy. But when we move into life, when we move into the Bodhisattva way cultivation, it's different again. Because we have vows. We have our duties. We are entangled with the nature's law, law of karma and all those things. So we will have to manifest. Our form and mind will have to manifest because of people's affinity, because of karmic conditioning, because of nature's condition. So that understanding that unfold will still get involved with the mental movement. You will still like manifest and try to do your duty or fulfill your vow or bring about understanding to liberate the limitless living being. So because of that, you still act, you still do things, then you're still involved with the worldly activity and worldly life, the mundane aspect also. But that is how the form and mind manifests. But that stage is after you have completed the cultivation, or not to say fully completed the cultivation, after you have developed the wisdom of at least you have awakened beyond the arahantship awakening. Then you start the Bodhisattva way. During that time, your mind become very different. Then from that stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness, you start to develop your own understanding, wisdom. And when you see this very clearly, that's why I explained last week, when you are able to see clearly what happened to you, self-knowledge, self-observation, then you will understand why human beings are like that. Unenlightened human beings, putujana, they are like that. Because the understanding comes from your own understanding, your own self-observation, self-knowledge that awaken you. Then you know, before you have the real Dhamma, the wisdom, you were like them, no different. Then you will understand what the sutta say. All living beings had the same Buddha nature. They are already perfect and beautiful. But living beings fails to realize it because their true mind, their true nature has been clouded. It's like the lure, the what dew. Or the morning dew, fog, F-O-G is fog, is it? Means you cannot see, clouded. So what you need to understand is when you do not have the awareness to be aware of your true mind, your true nature, then you will be lost in thought. You will be deluded. And because of that, the mundane mind take over. It will continue to deceive you, delude you, and condition you into negativity. That's how the living being who don't have the Dhamma or wisdom will lose their way. So in the sutta, especially the Mahayana sutta, they have explained this in many places. Even Huining, the sixth patriarch, he also taught people the same thing. That's why he said you have to go direct to the awareness, silent mind, the true mind, to meditate. So this whole explanation is very important. Eh? You know, you go back, you listen again, then you know how to continue with your cultivation. Very good.
Sadhu, yes.
Anything else?
Yeah. So now, I mean, with that understanding, I'm more easier to understand why you say that mundane mind is all triggered by the thought and the dependent originations, all these things. It's
because it's a condition arising mind.
All right.
From the nature, it arises. Like the physics experiment, you remember? We have a sense basis. Then we have that consciousness, which is like the power source, the energy. Okay? Then you have your contact, sense data coming. So the tree, when it comes into contact, it triggers that particular sense door consciousness. You become conscious. Then what happens? The mundane mind, through its views, opinion, conditioning, and habitual tendency, input the content of consciousness. That's how that one become egoic, become a thought, become the mundane mind. You will see all this very clearly after you have developed the sati and the mindfulness. So what you say is correct. It will make your cultivation easy. You know, when you understand this, you know what is the problem behind. The problem is we don't have the awareness to be aware of what is going on. That's why we cannot understand the truth. We cannot understand the real teaching, the Dhamma. We cannot penetrate the universal characteristics. We cannot understand the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught. So all this is the cause of karmic negativity, delusion, leading to heedlessness, leading to all the defilements, the negativity of mind state that arise. So all this understanding will unfold. Then you will start to straighten your view. Then you will start to understand the importance of mindfulness leading to heedfulness. That's the reason why in the early day I always tell you all, you like it or not, end of the day, you must develop the daily mindfulness until it's very, very stable.
Correct.
Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. Because not until that daily mindfulness stabilizes, when you can be in sati, your real meditation haven't started yet. Because that is awareness-based meditation. Whoever who cannot realize the true mind, silent mind, and stabilize it, cannot meditate technically. They are wasting their time doing thought-based meditation, following methods and techniques, doing energy field, having a lot of what they call thought-based meditation experiences. Of course, they also can have that concentrated mind, calm state of mind, energy field, nimitta, everything, jhana, very exciting. But all this will not develop true wisdom. It will give you Dhamma knowledge. You can link to Dhamma knowledge, but it is not real wisdom. That's why when they come to realize, they cannot handle. Many of them cannot handle. Because this is not real wisdom that has awakened, penetrative wisdom that can seize the mind for it to realize the enlightenment, the awakening. The nibbanic state to realize the unconditioned is very, very different, very important. That's the reason why Mahayana always say you have to realize the unconditioned state, pu sen, pu mie. The unconditioned is a state which they say where there is no arising and no ceasing. Means what? No mundane thinking, no mundane mind, no sankara activity. No aggregate of mind. That is Nibbana. That is the unconditioned. That is your nature. That's why people cannot understand. So this very important understanding need to be developed. For you, my nature rejoices now. At least you slowly, slowly, you have taken the correct steps to realize all this, which is very beautiful. And this is the result of your good parami, their good contribution the last few years. And all this has paved the way for you to have the understanding. Manager is
Yeah, because it's like, you know, without knowing that you have a true mind, it's so easy to be triggered and carried away by the thought, you see? Because we are sort of like born with it, you see? And it's been always stirred by the emotions, the thought, the conditions, all those kind of things. So it's like, and by staying with the, cultivate more and more on the true mind, it will slowly notice that, you know, there is another.
It gives you the ability to be aware of what is going on. When you are lost in thought, you cannot have the awareness. The awareness is the wisdom energy. Because that is not from the mundane mind. There is no ego, nothing. It's just aware. Without words, without concept. That's why that one can break the chain of heedless thinking. The chain of heedless thinking is like a momentum on its own. They call it heedless thinking, mundane thinking, respond to memory. And all this happens is because if you don't know how to silence your mind and develop the awareness, what will happen to the cultivator? The cultivator got no other means to meditate or cultivate. So they use the thought. And what does the thought do? Like Krishnamurti said, thought is egoic. So what does the thought do? The thought wants to meditate. The thought wants to analyze. The thought wants to create reason, views, opinion, duality. Then they get themselves entangled with this, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. Then like Shen Xiu, he attached to wholesome mind state. He attached to the what they call pure state of mind, means the mental states. He don't want all the negativity of mental state, which is your emotion, your mental states that has the evil result, greed, hatred and delusion, selfishness. So they think by holding on to the pure thought, they can purify. But they fail to realize through awareness that these are duality created by mundane mind. That's why Hui Ning was very wise. He said, originally, there was nothing. Where can the dust align? The dust is defilement created by the mundane mind. Within the true mind, there was neither good or bad. Thing is just the way it is. That wisdom cannot be understood or realized because they don't have the awareness, the silent mind, to see all this movement, to see all this creation. Duality comes from the mundane mind's creation. That's why Shen Xiu got trapped. Hui Ning is different. He realized the truth. That's why he straight away tear down Shen Xiu's poem. He said, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su means Bohi, which is wisdom, is not a tree. That first stanza, tear down Shen Xiu. Because Shen Xiu say his body is like a Bohi tree. Both are correct. One is at the Theravada level, one is at the Mahayana level. That's why Hui Ning tear him up. Then he tells Shen Xiu in a very subtle way, that one that you call mind, your mind, is like a mirror bright on a stand. That is not your true mind. He told Shen Xiu, Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. The mirror bright and the stand is not your true mind. Your true mind originally has nothing. 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? Where can the dust align? So people who has awakened to the true mind, the true nature, will understand this, will not be caught in duality, will not be caught in analysis, mundane thinking, habitual tendency, views, opinion, conditioning, they won't be trapped. They won't be trapped. These are deluded people's thinking, deluded people's manifestation, because they cannot see the dwelling. They cannot see how avijja paccaya sankhara. How? Because you don't have the wisdom, you lack wisdom, avijja, ignorance. It conditions sankhara activity, it makes you think. Because wanting to know, wanting to experience, what do? Normal people use thought, they start to think. They start by thinking, they can have the answer, they can have the solution. So when they think, what happens? They make contact with the brain. So the brain will have its memory, conditioning, views, opinion, and all those whatever rubbish inside there. Then from there, it creates mental consciousness through the six sense door. Then you input the content of consciousness, which is your views, opinion, and conditioning. All this before you are enlightened, they are all wrong view. That's how the egoic mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion come to be. You cannot have right thought, right speech, right action. Not until your mindfulness, awareness, allow you to see all the mundane movement, how you stir, how you react, how you become conditioned into negativity. So all this is what meditation is all about. So just now you try to explain, which is very good, but you don't have the stability or the understanding yet. But it's already good enough. Because from the way you try to understand, means you have starts to see the beauty of this understanding. That when you understand there are two minds, there is a silent mind, a true mind, that has this ability to develop the understanding and transform the cultivator, that itself is very beautiful. So very good, eh? Sadhu to you, Chinna.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm now really can understand better on what you are saying. And in Hokkien, they say it's more like jipsin.
Your become very strong. That goes in. It goes in. Yeah.
Yeah. It just go in. It somehow rather. I don't know how to say, but I noticed that the understanding about your teaching is different now. Is it
very different? Then listen to this recording again. I tell you, you will progress very fast. But don't listen one time. At least four times, five times. You keep on. After a while, listen again. After a while, listen again. All the understanding will come in. Yeah, just what I have shared with you is the whole cultivation, actually. Until your mind transforms. Until your mind is incapable of the heedless thinking. Until the sankhara activity all stop.
Sadhu.
Yeah, sadhu. When you develop the wisdom, you need so manasikara through contemplation, reflection, and the awareness. Based meditation to see all this clearly, then you become different. Then after that, your thinking become less, your stirring of the mind become less. Where you need so manasikara is the wisdom at the moment of sense. So you don't react to sense experience anymore. Then when you have that stability of this, your mind become more and more quiet, more and more quiet. Space between thought more and more. Then from you need so manasikara step 4, you will move to step 5. That time you have sati sampajana, means daily mindfulness, very stable. Then throughout the day, you are just aware and you will experience specific phenomenal awareness and spacious awareness without a center. After that, you can hit the step 5, you will become very, very good and you are guaranteed of awakening. Sadhu.
Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I finished my sharing and reporting.
So do you have any more questions?
No, And last time, a year ago, I can now remember, last time, Brother Chong?
Yeah.
Because the first time when I fetched him to your place, you see, on the journey, he told me that with sati and without sati, to listen to your talk is totally different.
Yeah.
At that time, I was shocking, but I don't understand what he said.
There you haven't developed the sati. You haven't had the ability to actually experience the awareness of your heartbeat.
Yes. Now I can fully agree with him.
Yeah.
See, like, you know, seriously, if you don't cross the border, you really just knowledge. It's just only knowledge.
Yeah, Dharma knowledge.
Dharma knowledge, correct.
Because this teaching comes from the silent mind. If your mind is not silent in awareness, you cannot understand what I say. What you try to understand, like last time, is you use the thought, the thinking, the mundane mind, to develop knowledge. You think you know, but you haven't really realized. Because the understanding of it is different. You must have sati to understand, to awaken. That's why without sati, you don't stand a chance. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. That's why the Buddha say, the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. That's why everything depends on sati. Without sati, maybe the first two advice of the Buddha you can do to a certain extent through Dhamma knowledge, through thought-based meditation. That's it. After that, you need sati really. That's why after that, the four foundation of mindfulness, everything you need sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of vedana, mindfulness of citta, mindfulness of dhamma. All need mindfulness. And mindfulness is awareness. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. It's not easy for normal people to understand. So what you have come to understood or realize is very good, you know. It helps let people understand what this training is all about. You know, a lot of people still didn't realize the importance of stability of mindfulness. Without the ability to realize the silent inner awareness, to be with the nature, you can never comprehend your true mind. You can never understand that you have two mind. You can never see that. That's why you start with mind as the basis to develop understanding. Sing wei gen ben. You start with understanding mind. Then you understand mind, you understand yourself. Well, who are you? What are you? Is the five aggregate of form and mind that I explained under this green book. That's why this green book can help a lot. A lot of cultivators, when you understand this sharing that I try to share under this green book, you become very different. Yeah, after this book, I'm going to continue with the second book, which is the purple book, the five aggregates of form and mind. This purple book is very important. Eh? So this one, Chinhao, you remember? You put under Amazon.
Yeah.
A lot of people buy.
Yeah, a lot of people bought it, yes.
Because people cannot explain this five aggregate of form and mind. And this one is a very comprehensive explanation. I did it when I was young, when I just came out, the year 2005. And luckily that transcript, the word file, I think they were still there. So I remember you were the one that helped me to actually put it into, I have only the hard copy, I think you scan. Then after that, I got back the word file, then I edit it, then it become this particular book, the purple book. So once I go into this purple book, the five aggregate of form and mind will become very clear to all cultivator, especially animators. So you were also the one responsible for coming out with this book. Because this book, when I first come out to share in 2004, the end of 2004, 205, I already share on this five aggregate of form. I know this is most important. If you cannot understand this, you cannot understand who you are, what you are, and what the Monday mind is. At that time, I cannot go into the true mind. I only mention it casually. Because at that time, my understanding is ahead of time. Who can understand? If I teach awareness-based meditation that time, the true mind, everybody will run away. It's never the same as what has been traditionally taught by the Buddhist community, especially Theravada. They have a lot of method, technique, and the so-established teaching of vipassana, jnana, and all those things. Even the Thai tradition of Buddha, anapanasati, and then jhana, and all those things. What did I teach? I cannot go and teach true mind. I cannot go and teach silent mind. I cannot go and teach awareness that nobody heard before. But subtly, inside my teaching, I mention it. But that time, people cannot understand. They can't understand. So now, I go through the transcript again, you will start to understand. Even the year 2004, 2005, when I started, that is almost 16 years ago, or 17 years ago, the teaching was already like that. But hardly anybody understand. So all this is very beautiful. Now there is condition for all this to unfold. Then people start to value this type of understanding and teaching. It takes people so long. Even like the song say, it took him a while. So for you also, it took you a while. So it is very beautiful. I rejoice. But some are more lucky, like Po Cheng De Ho. They penetrate very fast because their faith very strong and they just follow exactly what I share. Then there are a few more Kaimita who has done well too. So now with you able to do it, it will give a lot of faith and confidence to many cultivators. Where there are many people who were your contemporaries, same batch as yours, you know.
Yeah, correct.
And your PG, they came same time as you all.
Yes. I always told them, you see, I say, there are a lot of people come and go.
Yeah.
Those that able to stay until now, they are definitely behind, got some, you know, definitely got the condition behind, or else then we're not able to stay until now, is it?
Yeah, coming at it.
Yes. Yeah. So I say it doesn't matter, you know, doesn't matter whether you say that you are not have those kind of like sati or things. Just like me before that, you know.
The time hasn't come because the condition hasn't arise. Yeah.
I told Pauline, I told Mani, I say, you know, the reason why you're still until so many years, you see, yet still not away.
Yeah.
It must be a reason, you see.
Correct. So why last time Song continuously give you encouragement and faith. Because you also cannot understand for quite a while. Then you still become that time, I think. Like Lia Bo, you are very restless and all those things. Then you panic easily. Your sati hasn't come in. Then that time the teaching to you is like very confusing. But later on, luckily, because what Song tell you, you persevere. Then after that, the spiritual trip, the website came out. Those are the conditions for you to actually break your karmic obstruction and develop the affinity and the condition. Then because of your faith and your affinity, you start to change. Then you start to do it sincerely. That's how the result arise. That's how this become possible. So sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Yeah.
Good evening, brother. Thank you, Jin Hao, for nominating me, but 我没有什么好 share. But anyway, Bradio, 我就讲讲我哥哥过世 的 experience 吧。
嗯，三个。
当我的 niece call 我说，你要不要去看考夫最后一面的时候，当时我是在忙着，我在做我的还没有做完我的东西，然后我就 aware 到，哦 ，OK。我就跟他讲 ，OK， 你先过去，然后我一下子就做完东西，我就过来，然后我就after that， 我就从我的 garden 走进来。Then 当他的情绪好像要升起的时候 ，then 他就有一个message 说，whatever is arise is a condition to cease， 就没有了，然后那个情绪就升不起来了。
Yeah,
然后就是我就应该做什么我就照做了。
Yes.
当你没有去 perceive 任何东西的时候，你就会处在那个，就不会有那个 sankara 嘛。
对。
可是当我在他的 funeral 里面，他们封关在顶那个 coffin 的时候，哇，那个就好像 hit 在我的心里面，然后我就流泪，我就 understand， 这个就是因为我们的 mind 去抓， yeah. 所以我们就会有这个
reaction， 制造，
对，就因为你在 recall 回你跟他的那个
relationship，
就是那个 relationship， 就说靠我哥哥，然后又想起小时候他怎样，你说 这个就是整个给我学习的一个过程。然后最近我发觉到就是我不懂得怎样 explain， but 不是，就我好像我看任何东西哈，好像不是在 surface 这样的，很奇怪，它就是很，就是你一知道，就是你来你一看那件事情，好像它就很比较深入的那种 understanding。我也不懂，我也不懂是怎样，就是
你能够有那个 ability is because you have penetrated the Dhamma quite a lot。You have actually gone beyond what Chin Hao has gone through a while ago, and you have understood many things is because your depression helped you, the condition. So that one let you recall what happened, then through the awareness you can see, and when you can see, you can break free very fast the whatever delusion, sakadity,that condition, your misery and all those things, like you shared with me earlier on, you say, all this mind state, negativity of mind state, you were able to see, oh, you lie la. Oh, they already deceive you for more than 15 years, and they are coming to the back door again to let you think. So that Sankara movement, before it can even start,you have the ability to prevent it from arising, where you recognize it. These are the wrong thoughts that condition your misery, your suffering, your depression, your inability to become a proper human being. So all this help you a lot. That's why when you came to the class, the moment I explained the Four Noble Truths, then you see the possibility ofliberation, solution to your problem. That's why you keep on chasing Sui An for the tape, the recording. Then you were doing step two, constantly listening to the Dhamma. That one helped you a lot. Then because you Mandarin based education, you can understand Mahayana teaching. Then also because of your affinity withBut store Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin, and all those other great beings, even Amitabha and all those things. So you were very consistent and diligent. You came to all the retreat. You came to all the classes, most of the classes, including Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And Sunday classes is the most important. You learn a lot through that Mahayana teaching. Six Patria Platform Sutta Hui Neng, that you follow me on many spiritual trips. And all these spiritual trips actually help you understand, develop the faith and the transformation. Then your mindfulness develop, your sati develop, then your ability to silence your mind develop. So all this has helped you. That's why now you can see things differently, like you explained. Whatever you see, like in Mandarin, you explain it just now, 好像很深入了, means you have seen it with deeper understanding, much deeper understanding, because you have the awakening, the understanding, the realization. Then like you share your contemplation with your brother, is very good. It's so easy, because when your niece call you to visit your elder brother, your brother, then straight away you didn't really react or respond, but then you say okay, ask her to go first, then you may follow. Then while you finish your activity, the garden or whatever, then when you come in, you realize the sankhara movement like wants to like make you think of the past, then wants to move your sankhara emotion and all those things and get you back into the entanglement. But straight away you understand that Dhamma that you have realized, whatever is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, no point. That's why it ceases, metyao. After that, like no more already. Then after that, everything settled down, then you decide to go. But when you were there, the moment before they kneel the coffin, with the kneel, then you realize that sankhara of the early days of your life with him and all those things, how as a brother and all those relationships, it stirs again. That's why you came to tears. But you have the understanding. And because of that, you learn so much. That's what sankhara is all about. That's why this part, you will learn and penetrate deeper. Because, like I explained to Chin Hao just now, there are two aspects to life. One is the supramundane for enlightenment, for awakening, the unconditioned Dhamma. The other one is to fulfill our vows, to walk the way of the Bodhisattva, to go into life. So when you move into that, when your tears or those things move, it's genuine emotion and movement. But that is what sankhara is all about. That is what the mundane mind is all about. When it attaches, it will condition all this. But because of your wisdom behind, you don't suffer. Understand? You don't suffer. That emotion can arise, that tears can arise, but there is no suffering. This is where the difference is. That's why the Bodhisattva, they are different. They can also have emotion, they also can have tears, but they are non-grasping because of the understanding. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, five aggregate of form and mind are impermanent and empty, no reality. He know you, he know me. But there is such thing as life, existence, law of karma. So all this will come into play. That affinity and everything. You will understand. That's why you will know how to use the mundane mind for living. That's what the fifth patriarch told Hui Neng. And when Hui Neng heard that, he came to great awakening. Because that was the missing puzzle, missing link that Hui Neng needed. Hui Neng already penetrated all the Dhamma, but he doesn't know how to use the mundane mind until the fifth patriarch told him. He said, this mind, which is the mundane mind, you must know how to use it for the good of the many, but not to be deceived by it, deluded by it, conditioned by it into heedlessness, into negativity. That is the deep meaning. That is what Bodhisattvas, great beings, and the Buddha have as wisdom. That's why they will not be deceived and deluded, because the form and mind is connected to that wisdom that has penetrated the understanding of life and existence. That's why they have the understanding of both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, which is very beautiful. So hopefully, Alicia, you can develop the deep understanding and move further from here. 了解吗?
Understand, Brother Teo. Since I was in Brother Teo, the class, you 好像不一样.
在 like 高了一层了的, 因为这个 aspect is the explanation to the real cultivator at the more evolved level that has progressed. But before that, my nature sharing is just to awaken you, to let you have the understanding. But now there is condition because of what you share about your brother's case and your transformation process. My nature very clear because you share a lot of things with me during the early days. And you were very, very full of faith. And you also actually did a lot of very good things because of what happened to you. When you have the Dhamma, you transform, you change. Then your brother, sister, your in-law side, all, they start to see you change. That's why a lot of them were so amazed that until they want to know who am I. Yeah? You used to tell them about your teacher, me, yeah? And together with Freddy. That's why you even organize a lot of overseas trip. Huh? Last time you can't, you're incapable. But you end up like having the ability. Then you help out in Freddy's business. You turn a lot of things around. You turn the relationship with your in-laws from negativity or depression and sadness and housing to joy, understanding. You know? That's why people can see, they can feel, and they want to know, who am I? So that trip to Hokkaido with my wife was very beautiful, very meaningful. Yeah, I went with you, Freddie, and their brothers and sisters. So that was a very beautiful trip, super. And my wife also really loved that trip. And we had all the beautiful photo, the Google photo, we still have them, very beautiful. And on and on, I used to go in Google and see. That was really amazing. And because of that, you are able to have that faith. Because you saw it in yourself, how you come out of depression, transform and become a totally different human being that has the Dhamma and the understanding. And you were able to do so many things. Then later on, you even create a condition for me to join you to the Philippines. Huh? That trip to Philippines, you remember? For Teddy and Ai, they all, to help Ai, I think, with depression also. Then the most beautiful trip is also to Macau. Macau is Ai and the husband, they all. So all those trips were very meaningful and very beautiful. Yeah, you were very sincere, you want to help them. They are your closest friend. Freddy's very close friend, also business associate and all those things. And the best is Teddy. Although he's a Christian, but he's a very, very good Christian. Of all the Christians I met, I think he is the most sincere and the most wise among them, and Fred and Frank. He is very sincere and he has an open mind. He can accept everything, but he believes in his religion very strongly, the faith in his religion. That's why he has a good life. You can see him sincere, joy and all those things. So these are the beautiful transformation and condition. So hopefully, Alicia, you can reflect and contemplate on all this and develop further understanding, and you can see how your life transformed from that state of, like, I remember Teddy told me, he said, Brother Theo, I heard a lot about you from Freddie and Alicia, But I haven't met you. I really want to meet you. And he came all the way to Malaysia to meet me. Then after that, because of the favorable condition, I had the condition to visit him in Philippines. He really took us around, and that was a very beautiful trip. My first trip to Philippines, Manila, with my wife. Well, it was the most beautiful trip with a lot of joy happening. Yeah, he took us to many places, which is very beautiful. Then during that time, I remember there was so much sharing between him and me. He wants to know how I managed to actually turn Alicia around. He said last time he used to visit Freddie and come to Malaysia. They're supposed to have dinner. Normally, Alicia will join them, but the depression, the gastric or ulcer was so bad until Alicia couldn't join them. Then Daddy witnessed and saw how she deteriorated her health and all those things. Then a few years later, when he saw Alicia recover and become so different, so bubbly and so beautiful, he inquired and said, how did it happen? Oh, then when they told him about me, he wants to know me. That's why we talk and share a lot of very beautiful things. And this is the beauty of Dhamma, the Buddhist teaching, the noble truth that can resolve all this. Although he's a Christian, he's willing to listen. And he knows it's very beautiful. So sadhu, Alicia.
Kanan brother to you.
Yeah.
我其实应该讲是从一个非常 heedless 的 的 living being 接触 brother to you， 然后学习佛法，
对，
然后我就整个人生就一个大转变。其实真的是感恩佛陀了，对，感恩佛陀，感恩佛菩萨，感恩Radio 的正法，我们能够得闻正法真的是好不容易。
好不容易。
对，所以
前世因 karmic obstruction， 但是 luckily 前世有做过很好的事，所以你遇得到我的，你觉得你跟 Triple J 很有缘，那你要感恩 Vincent 跟他。
Vincent，yes。
他的太太什么名字啊
？Anna。
Anna， 对 ，Vincent。
对。
是他们 connect。因为 without them, you cannot connect to me because they happen to be at my Sunday class, a Saturday class sharing that time at Cempaka. Cempaka. He was actually teaching something else on the cane and all, but I don't know how he ended up attending my class. Then after that, he has faith. Then one day he come and see me. Say, Brother Teo, can I bring a friend? He said, who has problem to see you? Then I say, can, no problem, provided she want to come. Then she told me about you, you know, depressed and all those things, and suicidal thought and many, many things. I say, no problem, as long as she wants to come, if there's condition. Then after that, for 1-2 months, I didn't hear from him. No. So I thought maybe he's just a passing thing. But then suddenly, one day, he called me before the Tuesday class. He said, Brother, that lady, Alicia, my friend, is coming. Oh, I say, very good, sadhu. Then that day when you came, I still remember, Tuesday class at night, my house. When you walk into my house, my nature can sense your very severe depression, negativity of karmic energy inside. So you were very like sad and very depressed. And you don't even want to know anybody. Your head just down. You just quiet, silent. Didn't interact, nothing. Then my nature can sense something very strong. Then I knew it is your condition. If it's not because of your condition, you won't be here. For all this to happen, there must be causes and conditions. Then when I start that night sharing, my nature just shared the first and second noble truth. Especially the first number two, you saw, and I can see the light inside your nature. Suddenly your mind like can arise a very, very like subtle type of smile. There is like a joy, a smile, because you can hear this teaching which is related to what is happening to you, how you suffer, how you become so miserable, how that thing entangle you. For the first time, it's like you can listen to this. That's why you chase after the talk after that. Keep on chasing sweetheart for the recording and all those things. That's how all it happened. And it's so beautiful. Yeah. So sadhu to you again. Kanan. So very good sharing, Alicia.
Thank you, brother Teo. 还有就是那天我看到那个 video about 那个 MRR2 那个东西跌下来有没有？
Then
我的 first thought 就是说，哎呀，他们也不容易。就他的，喂 ，then after that 我再回想起，哎。 那我的 mindset 又好像不一样，这样子跟平时人想的东西就不一样。对，你的看法全部不一样了。也算人生啊，是这样的。所以我们有了佛法，看透了啊，就是这样的。
Thing is just the way it is. A lot of people don't understand. They become very emotional and all those things. So 我们了解了该做的我们做 有因缘 就 manifest something otherwise just let things be thing is just the way it is 这是很奥妙 Sadhu
是 Bradio 感恩啊 Thank you 阿弥陀佛
Alicia 那个地藏王菩萨 已经给了 Jayanta He collected it yesterday. Yeah? He liked it a lot. He said, Sadhu, thank you.
Yeah?
Okay, Brother Joe, I saw you in the screen.
Yeah,
it's not there. Okay, Brother Joe, so he loved it. He really, really loved it. So, he yesterday, or Friday, he already brought it to Malacca. I think Aloka Center. Okay. Who wants to come in? Come, quick one. Before we end. Fellowship. You can say what you like. This one is just sharing. Free for all. So don't have to be shy. You just share what you want to share. Agate.
Thank you very much, Brother Joe. And thank you for Qin Hao and
Alicia sharing. Very
now
good.
Now the sharing very different.
Yeah, very different. Ah, 不一样啊.
And by revisit your books also.
Very different. The teaching was all the time there. That people cannot understand.
But no, because now after now is that every word is important.
Yes. Now it goes in, isn't it? Because you can understand.
Then another thing is like, for instance, just like to share a little bit.
No problem.
When from past there is saw the like Qin Hao mentioned about the true mind and together. So actually, when that moment, if you just observe it silently, observe it, actually you can understand the function of these two minds.
And if
the thought is just a flip, then it will release.
Yes, they are very near.
This will continue to release for some time until you come to understand how it release. Then it touches to a point that is a very contrast stillness.
Sadhu.
Once you realize the contrast, it's just a second because you can only touch it a second initially because when you notice the contrast is gone.
Initially it's like that. Initially it's like that. But later on it can stabilize.
Once it's stabilized, it's very beautiful, but the awareness can really let you see
that very powerful. that nature
is
very different.
Let go and release.
It is nothing to do with that word let go on. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is as it is. Unconditioned. It's
correct, because it's the unconditioned. There is no word to describe. It doesn't tell you like let go. These are words.
It is just that nature.
You listen. Okay, you listen.
Yes.
This will help you to where you have to penetrate this part also. It is just a nature, and this nature is already very beautiful. Yeah, it is the oneness nature, the source. So from here, the understanding will unfold. That's why it is 不生不灭. So it does not have to let go or what. It no let go is a concept. It's an idea created by mundane mind. Who let go? The one who attached. And who is the one who attached? The egoic mind. That's why I say the thought try to let go. How can? This is not the awareness base. The awareness base is understand, like Hui Ning said, 本来无一物, 何处而生来? There is nothing there. Nothing. Originally, it was empty. That's why whatever that arises and passes away is also empty because it's impermanent.
Okay.
Impermanent is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why 无常苦无我. So when you understand this, you understand empty nature or existence. Well, whatever that is dependent on originating is impermanent. And whatever that is impermanent is empty. Kong sing de. Because 一切都是缘起吗? 缘起缘灭吗? Where got reality? That's why he no you. He no me. So that nature you go in, it's different again. Where it's stabilized, it's different. And there are many more things that great beings do with that nature, which is very beautiful. Where you bring it up, again, which is very good. Where you can understand until a certain stage, a certain level. Where you went through that to my much earlier when I was sharing at Wu Ping Jing Sir, I think later part only, you come to that understanding. That's why you appreciate my unique code and all those things. Then you and Ing B were able to benefit from it. Then Alicia that time also benefited from it. That's why many Kayamita that time managed to develop the understanding. So for you, you have gone beyond what Chin Hao stage is, but you need to relax, aware and silent and go in some more. Stabilize that nature. There are more things than what you have develop the understanding now. So it's already very good, but don't worry. Have the faith. Continuously develop the faith, sadha, virya, then relax more and silent until you connect to that nature very stable. Until that gateway, you haven't realized that gateway. That's why you are still quite far from Pocheng. Pocheng has realized that gateway. So that gateway, when you detected it and the yin yang energy go in and melt inside, that will transform you. That will make you different again. Your cultivation will take off again. So, be patient. But thank you so much for your sharing. Your this sharing is very good. You can continue if you want.
The understandings, like, for what I can understand, Brother always say, be with it. You know, that become more, we know how
you,
to apply.
You know how to apply that awareness nature. When you silent and be with it, then that thing cease, then you know all this mental state, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, resentment or whatever, they are unreal. They are not you. Because when you silent, it ceases. Means what? Means intrinsically it was never there. It arises through condition, dependent originating. It arises through the mind stirring. When the mind stirs with wrong view, you become emotional. Your anger, your fear, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. So this one, Alicia can see very well where she went through depression for 15 to 16 years. That's why I don't need to explain to her. But for you all, you have to use the awareness, be with it, to understand. That's why Kok Lun also went through that. So it's very beautiful. Then you start to understand after that, actually they were never intrinsic within your true mind or true nature. Your true nature has none, nothing, empty. All this, they arise through condition, dependent originating. That's why 缘起缘灭. So all these connect and they go in. And as you reflect and contemplate, it becomes deeper and deeper. And you were right. Nowadays the sharing is very different. Because when the sharing comes from true cultivator, it is like that. It's meant to be. That's why this will take off. And when the Cameron Highland retreat start again, I tell you, I can assure you, the next retreat is going to be very, very different. You will have a lot more sharing.
Are you having any plan to have one or two, like, weekend retreat?
No point. You must go to Cameron, Miss Lee. Cameron, that is the place. The nature there waiting for us, I tell you.
Oh, I see.
We are all ready because last year, I shared the Heart Sutta. I go through it for a few months. That learning, that sharing is very important. If you all listen to it, a lot of them will progress. Because last time at the retreat, 8 days, 9 days maximum, I have to finish up. Sometimes I have to rush through. I got no time to explain a lot of things. But because we take our time, the explanation was very different, much deeper. That's why many of you can understand. Then, of course, there are some who think that it's repeated, revision. So they didn't pay attention. But those who pay attention, the Dhamma is so deep, like song they are. They realize, every time I share the same Heart Sutta, the understanding is different. The Dhamma is different.
Yes, the understanding will become... although you repeat, but actually the understanding different.
Yeah, because it depends on your individual understanding. When you can understand to that stage, you understand more. But if you cannot understand to that stage, you remain stagnant. That's why for those who progress, it becomes different. Every time you understand, awaken, and develop better understanding and transformation, you understand deeper. That's the reason why I used to share with you in the early days. Whatever my nature share, is for all level, even until the very advanced cultivator. So it depends on how much you can receive and understand. Because that sharing is from that understanding, that nature that come down. So it's meant for all level, more or less. So that is the beauty. Sadhu, Miss Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
good.
You, Ranjil.
Good.
Thank you, Eddie. And thank you all the Kalamita's contribution to
this. Those who make the condition available. Because like Miss Lee, Jin Hao, and the committee members, Suyan, you know, and a lot of Kalamita, they help to build up this website, this Zoom sharing, and contributed a lot of condition. Then through the what they call Kayamita Fund, we managed to pull together a lot of wholesomeness. Then our spiritual trip activity, Dhamma book, audio file, video file sharing, all these are very beautiful, very wholesome. That's why Kayamita Falls will move very fast. And the next retreat at Cameron Highland, after we finish, I can guarantee you a lot of you all will develop the joy and the transformation and the progress. At that time, we can really discuss Dhamma, the real Dhamma. That time, a lot of you will understand. Like Alicia gone through, the understanding is so deep. Then we can discuss about life, the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, can't. Okay? Sadhu,
Thank you.
So let us rejoice and we end, literally. Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu.